This was preparing for Black Friday, Cyber Monday week. My tips are, if you're going to prepare for something like that, launch your ads 2 weeks before, turn them off.
Welcome to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast, brought to you by Milk Bottle Labs, Ireland's top-rated Shopify experts. Milk Bottle Labs build, upgrade, migrate, and market Shopify and Shopify Plus stores all over the world. Milk Bottle will migrate you onto Shopify with zero interruption, guaranteed, or optimize your Shopify store and maximize store sales. This podcast is kindly supported by our favorite Shopify app and the only app we install in every store. Rewind.io is the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. We'll talk more about Rewind later. Now over to your host, founder of Milk Bottle Labs, Keith Matthews.
Hey folks, welcome back. Today we are going to discuss all things Facebook marketing as we head into the busy shopping season, although the summer has been busy due to COVID. Today I talked to Peter Carter, and Peter is a Facebook marketing expert and he works with Rainy City Marketing in Manchester. I met Peter recently at an event prior to COVID in Amsterdam at Shopify Pursuit. And the level of knowledge and the insights and direct experience that Peter has with the Facebook marketing platform just has to be shared. He shares some wonderful, wonderful tips and tricks and shortcuts. And hopefully, if you're going to engage in Facebook marketing as we enter the busy season, Peter's tips will hopefully save you money. So here goes. Peter Carter, how are you?
Keith, I'm doing very good. Doing even better now that I'm actually going for a break on Sunday for a week off. Not taking a week off work since a year ago in June.
Wow.
Still going to be on the laptop in the mornings, checking in a few things, but going to try and switch off and more importantly, get some good sun.
That's good. So ironically, Peter, you represent Rainy City Marketing and you do Shopify work the same as Milk Bottle, which is great because we actually met at an event recently. Was that event in February in Amsterdam? Was it that long ago?
Yeah, I've got to just tell the listeners quickly how we met. We were at a Shopify event. We'd taken our small team with us and we were lost. And I thought, let's get some help from someone. And I saw this guy who was obviously lost as well, wandering around with a bright pink suitcase. And that turned out to be you, Keith. And then we ended up in the event and it was great. It was a Shopify, what do they call it? Shopify meetup or something like that.
Shopify Pursuit.
That's it. And it was fantastic. Brilliant event. I really recommend those.
We ended up sitting beside each other and I remember you introduced me to Rebecca who runs the Shopify business and then you also introduced me to your social media guy who I was very impressed with.
Yeah. We've got a few things. My fiance has the Shopify design development side and I focus on Facebook ads.
Good. We'll talk about that in a while. But look, nice to talk to you again. In typical Shopify fashion, you ask a guy for directions who clearly doesn't know where he's going and all of a sudden you grab a beer, you have a bit of lunch and all of a sudden he does another connection made. So Genuinely great to have you. We tried to schedule this a couple of months back. Of course, COVID hit and we are where we are now. So you're based in Manchester. Give us an idea of the, obviously everybody knows Manchester, but give us an idea of the, is there a Shopify community there? You know, what's the state of Manchester at the moment, business-wise, given the current situation?
Got a lot of friends who are business owners, hair salons, bars, restaurants, that sort of thing. They've been in trouble, unfortunately. Most of my clients, probably 95% of them, are over in the States, in America. Manchester-wise, for community, I think we're going to try and, once we get through this period, we've got a large office, so we're going to arrange some meetups. I was chatting with someone actually at that Shopify Pursuit event who worked at Shopify, who was going to come and speak in our office and stuff like that. So I think as time goes on, we're going to maybe see what kind of community there is around here. There's a guy called Adam who's based in Liverpool, who's a Klaviyo expert. We're going to start meeting up and stuff. So yeah, just really mainly dealt with Americans so far, but definitely going to explore the e-commerce side of stuff and the Shopify world around Manchester in the near future, definitely.
That's good. We organized our first meetup in 2016 in Dublin and we've done probably 5 or 6 a year ever since. And it really is a wonderful way, to meet people face to face and meet people that have a similar interest to yourself in terms of e-commerce and marketing and Shopify, you know, which is great. How did you specifically, we're going to talk about Facebook. I mean, I remember when I met you in Amsterdam, you were just talking about, I mean, you mentioned at one point that you were managing budgets of up to $60,000 a day for some US clients. But before we get to that, as we move into the busy period, of course, the last few months have been busy as well, but traditionally we have got, you know, Black Friday, Q3, Q4, sales pick up. What advice would you give to a Shopify store owner who is prepping to engage with a Facebook marketing spend between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, I think this is a very important time, you know, particularly like in the next 2 weeks where you start to see the word Christmas cropping up and getting that sort of vibe. It sort of starts to snowball. Now, advice-wise, the 60,000 that you meant, I can actually touch on that now because it ties into the question. This was preparing for Black Friday, Cyber Monday week. My tips are, if you're going to prepare for something like that, launch your ads 2 weeks before, turn them off. Where mistakes that marketers can make launching the ads on the day, and because Facebook now, with all the problems they have with data, with Cambridge Analytica and all that, they've become more hot on the review process to get ads approved. So what you can find is, especially at a time where everybody's wanting to launch ads, it can take a lot longer. So if you do it too close to the day and you get stuck in review or there's a problem, you've shot yourself in the foot. So tip number one to prepare for something like that, and actually when I got to those massive budgets, was I flew out to New York last year to see a client 2 weeks before Black Friday. And we actually strategized, prepared the coupon codes, prepared the creatives, and actually launched the ads a couple of weeks before. We turned them off once they'd been approved, and then they stay approved, then you can just turn them on. So that's my first tip to prepare for stuff, but it's just about preparing.
So Peter, just on that, so just to explain to the listeners in case they don't know, so what happens is when you create your ad, your copy and your visuals, you submit it to Facebook. Facebook goes through a process where it approves the ad. You get an email to say your ad has been approved and then it goes live. But last year, there was a backlog, wasn't there? And some people missed the important sales dates as a result of that. So what you're saying is put the ads live 2 weeks beforehand, get them approved and then stall them until when you need them. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, even of late, the last couple of weeks, I'm seeing clients, like, for example, a lady who I work with who's got a protein brand for youth athletes. Facebook were disapproving her ads, saying that she was selling over-the-counter drugs. Then you have to get it reapproved. And then like, sorry, that was a mistake. But that process can take a few days. And if you're doing that close to the time, don't recommend it. So yeah, launch the ads, turn them off, dead straightforward, and then turn them on the morning when you want them to get going. We see Black Friday, Cyber Monday ads. You know, we typically turn them on a week before the Black Friday. So like on the Monday, for example, or the weekend before, to get them going, everybody's in the zone. And we actually saw a larger sales day on the weekend before Black Friday than the actual weekend. So it's all about preparation, getting things like your coupon codes ready for Shopify, getting ready to change your banner in your store, and more importantly, getting those ads approved so you don't miss out.
So there's as much preparation for the listeners then to have their store tooled up to take in those discounts as there is actually putting them out, isn't
it? Yeah, everything's in it. You'll hear me use the word ecosystem when we talk a bit further about ads and strategies and stuff. It's not just about knowing how to launch a Facebook ad. There's a whole ecosystem, as you know from being a Shopify design and development agency, that enhances performance of your ads or doesn't enhance them if you don't get parts of the ecosystem correct.
If you go back to the $60,000 per day, I mean, just give us an indication. Obviously, you know, you fly to New York, you sit down, you do the planning, you switch on your ads in advance and you get them approved and then the ads are running. Like on a daily basis, there must be an element of risk applying that money to a budget, to an advertising campaign. So how do you manage that risk and how do you make sure that the client gets value for money?
Yeah, so obviously it takes experience to get up to really high budgets like that, especially if you're not a brand like Coca-Cola or something where you just, money's no object. It's this huge brand awareness thing. You know, to get up to there, it takes looking at data, you know, and living and breathing inside an account. That's why when you work with big advertising agencies, you know, you get palmed off, you get brought in on a sales pitch, you can get palmed off with someone inexperienced who's following a process. But to be able to scale up massively to budgets like that, you know, it's a lot more advanced. It will have been brought up not so gradually, but being able to spot patterns, you know, looking at data and doing what we call manual bidding, which is something quite advanced that, if you know, I don't want to get into that too much, if it may confuse some of the listeners on the call, but something you can do to manage your risk. Everybody has to go to sleep, right? There's a tool called RevealBot, revealbot.com. And you could automate things in your Facebook ads account. So you can have like fail-safe rules that will drop the budget 50% if we've spent a certain amount in a day and like our return on ad spend is below a certain amount, then this thing can make the moves that we would make as a human whilst we, you know, out traveling in the car or asleep. Yeah. That's the usual one. So you can, we've usually got about 10 different rules in here, which can cover us in case something goes drastically wrong or even slightly wrong. You know, we can really manage stuff when you're at those budgets, you need things like this and they're reliable. And you can also get it to say, okay, when this is working well, let's increase this. Everything, every move that you make to get up to a higher spend is based off what you can see in the account. What am I spending? What am I bringing back? A couple of other metrics. And then if you really want to aggressively scale, you know, you start throwing out $10,000, $20,000 a day budgets on your campaigns, but then have this to really minimize your risk through some automation.
So what you're doing is you're adding automations to make the next decision for you based on the previous experience. Is that right?
Yeah. So we'll look, we'll say things like, okay, Facebook, we'll say to this tool called Reveal, revealbot.com, if in the last 3 days, including today, our return on ad spend is below this benchmark, then drop our budget 20%. But, you know, with huge budgets like that, like talking massive 10, 20,000 on a campaign across a few campaigns, that's when you would put things in place which are a lot more time sensitive. So, you know, if in the last 3 hours it's not doing this, you know, we're probably spending $3,000-$4,000 every 3 hours, you know, then we want to drop the budget. It's mainly a budget control thing. Well, it's always, you know, for the high risk management, budget control.
Yeah, so you're controlling budget, and then you're in, provided the real system works. You can do the same in AdWords, by the way, on Google. So what you're doing is you're controlling the budget and also trying your best to increase the ROI. That's very clever.
Well, you know, Keith, just to tie this in quickly, you know, for anyone listening, you know, if you're looking to spend $100 a day on ads and get going, or £100, euros, whatever, the same rules apply, same principles apply. It's always the same principles to be able to do more of what works and less of what's not working. And having a system just to follow benchmarks and looking at a few things in your account, still making the same kind of moves.
One of the questions that I was going to ask you was, for that budget per day with that client, are you sitting, or is there a member of your team sitting in the AdWords account every couple of hours making the changes? Or does that tool and that mechanism, that automation, do it for you? Or do you still have to log in every morning, twice a day? What's your relationship with that ad once it starts running at a physical level?
In the Facebook account, well, you know, Keith, a lot of the time when you do high-level management, like I do consulting for people where I give them advice, but I also do high-level like ad spend management. Now, in most cases, you get paid a percentage of ad spend, right? So for someone like me, the more I can spend in an account profitably, the more I can actually spend and get paid for the client. So I kind of know that when Black Friday rolls around, that 2 weeks, I'm more than willing to block out my days.
Yes, I get you.
And really be in there, because better results for the client means we can push the spend more, which means I do more. It's a win-win scenario. So I'm up at 6 every day. And what you find a lot of the time is when you get to those sort of budgets, brands like that, the brand owner will be very involved with the Facebook ads process. I know multiple 8-figure brands where the actual brand owner still runs the ads themselves.
Wow.
Or is very involved in it, because it's, you know, it's the number one thing a lot of the time, which is going to propel your business. So more than happy to be spending early mornings and late nights there, you know, some backup from Reveal while I'm asleep, and then back on it just to enhance results.
You've just answered another question of mine. In your experience working with the majority of businesses that have big budgets, do they have a defined team in-house, you know, where you're sharing knowledge and educating as you go along, or is it completely down to you?
Yeah, so I help people in different scenarios. Sometimes you'll, depends on the level of spend, really. Sometimes someone in-house will be trained, because like you don't want to let go of your ad spend and give it to an agency. I see it time and time again. People will come to me and they'll have been burnt by agencies. And I know these agencies, they give a process to people who are like fresh out of university and they're following a process to get brought in on a good sales call. Typical scenarios I see, you know, the higher spend brands, like I mentioned, then the owners are very involved. They're running the ads themselves or with a bit of help. Don't get me wrong, there are amazing agencies out there and who do get amazing results. There are different scenarios that work for different businesses. A couple of my clients, you know, are doing it themselves. A few other ones, they've got someone in-house, but they're still very involved and they share the process of the actual ads creation part. And then, you know, the big decisions to do with spend get done by the owner. So depends what works for the business, depends on the time that the people have who are running it.
Let's take a short break and I'll share the one app we install on every Shopify build. The team at Rewind.io have developed the leading backup solution for Shopify. Did you know there is no way of recovering lost data from a Shopify store? Rewind.io automatically backs up your store data. In the event of a data loss, usually due to human error, Rewind enables you to rewind your store back to its previous state. It's so simple and is used by some of the world's leading Shopify agencies, such as Kurt Elster of EtherCycle and Kelly Vaughan at The Tap Room. If your store is gaining traction, you may have multiple users making changes. Often store owners allow team or app developers enter a store to add code. Sometimes mistakes happen and data gets deleted. You can reduce your business risk today and prevent a costly catastrophe by installing the Rewind.io app on your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free by simply responding to any of the welcome messages or emails you receive after you begin your 7-day trial and mention this podcast. Now, back to the interview.
Yeah, similar to ourselves. Every client has a different structure, a different approach, and a different level of resource that they can give you or that they might be able to give you. So that's good. So, Peter, in the past, Facebook ads aren't a focus of ours. We do manage Facebook ads for some clients, but one of the challenges that we always have, I suppose one of the two major challenges is copy and is creatives. Now, Facebook has made it very easy for you to create creatives in terms of direction, in terms of sizing. It even has a bank of imagery that you can use. But what's your tip for somebody entering into the busy period in terms of creation of creatives specifically for a very important milestone Facebook marketing campaign?
It's probably going to shock a few people, this, but like, what works best? And we've just taken, me and a guy I run some ads with, we've just taken a brand from $4,500 a day to $23,000 a day in sales in 3 weeks. And they've got all these creatives, all this polished stuff. Then they've got this grainy old video of someone using the products, like a UGC style, user generated content.
Yeah.
That's what we see work really well. It fits into the news feed on Facebook organically, so it looks like a normal post. We often use the call to action, learn more, right? Which ties in with this organic looking grainy post that looks like it's been filmed on a phone. I'll tell you a funny story. One of my clients I was working with, they paid a lot of money to get all these professional actresses in for their beauty brand into a studio, did all this acting, talking about the products and stuff. We were all excited to run the creatives. I think it cost over $10,000. And they absolutely tanked. And then these guys got one of the girls in their office to do a 14-second selfie on her iPhone, putting this lipstick on. And that thing just scaled into multiple seven figures. Didn't cost anything, took 14 seconds, done in one take. So user-generated content is great. Stuff that's been taken with your iPhone. You know, you can take a few different product shots and make some carousels of it. There are companies like Suna, Suona.co. They are based in Austin, Texas. And if you go on the site, you can just tell these guys know what they're doing. And basically, you just like order a shoot with them. I think you can send them your products. These guys will turn the stuff around in 24 hours. You end up with some absolutely awesome creative. So I never recommend trying to get into doing all this stuff yourself. If you're going to try and run your Facebook ads yourself, focus on the strategy for that. You need to have reliable people that you can call on. You know, a tool that everybody knows, Canva.com.
Yeah, Canva. We use it ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, you can take a shot with your phone or a short video, put that in there. You know, if you really want to do some great stuff, nothing works as well, or in most cases, as leveraging user-generated style content. And you can send a product to a friend, or even better, like a low-level influencer, and you can just give them your product, have them do a quick iPhone video talking about the product, what they like about it, and then going back to talking about the product, just looking at the camera, clearly having the product in shot whilst they're talking. Stuff like that works great. It can be done in one take and they can scale for ages. Now, one thing I should mention that is a really big part of our strategy, and I've seen this really save brands. When you see me or hear me talk about these crazy results that we do, we most of the time, nearly all the time, use pre-sell pages. So my main strategy with Facebook ads is not to run ads where there's a really clean product shot image and it says shop now and we say get 10% off and buy. That's not how we do it. So we'll pay a copywriter. I've got a contact in London who's brilliant, and he will write a pre-sell article. So the pre-sell article will actually be built in an app called Pagefly in Shopify. And the job of this is to pre-sell people before they get to a really nicely optimized Shopify product page. the pre-sale article will be almost, they'll feel like they're reading a magazine article. So the title of it might be like, Three Reasons Experts Swear by This Lip Tint, something like that.
Yeah.
And this thing will be written as if they're reading a magazine. So on Facebook, you lead someone off Facebook with a creative, which looks nice and user-generated, and it will say something like, see three reasons why people are loving this lip tint. Learn more. And that's how we lead people off. They get pre-sold and then go to Shopify. So having those creatives tied in with a pre-sale page, that is literally the thing that we just doubled the return on ad spend for one client by testing straight to the product page and then doing a pre-sale. You know, this is specifically a Facebook ad strategy. This is what we see work really well.
That's very clever. Just go back a second to the photos. One challenge that we have is that we have a lot of brands that don't have the budget for decent photography. But because they're so proud of their brand, they won't go down the route of user-generated content. Do you see that?
No, people just listen to me because I've got like results to back it up, and I can just say, you know, yeah, this is what I've spent. This is the impact I've seen, and then they listen and then they do it. If they, you know, you can still keep stuff really on brand. Like if you have a look at that Sooner brand that I mentioned, I mean, this stuff doesn't need to be super UGC, like everything grainy. You can still have really nicely done stuff. You can still keep it on brand, but if everybody checks out that sooner.co, you can see examples there where these guys are using products, but they're adding in this really cool bright colors and backgrounds, and it just looks amazing. So yeah, there's definitely a balance, I think is the word we're looking for, Keith. You can have a balance between...
The reason I ask that is because I would personally use both.
Yeah, both work.
Don't blow your budget on photography, but I mean, have decent photography on one side and have the user-generated content on the other side, which, as you say, will more than likely be probably get a larger return on investment from it. Thanks for those tips. It's nice to hear straight from the horse's mouth what we've been thinking in Milk Bottle, and that's our experience too. The other difficult area in terms of ads is the written content and the approach for copy. Whatever about trying to convince a customer to hire a decent photographer, or don't do that, use somebody in the office. Copy is one thing that a lot of our clients, you know, some of these guys are very successful, are not prepared to pay for. So what's your advice or what's your approach when it comes to copy for Facebook ads?
Okay, so I've kind of got, not a shortcut, but because we focus a lot on pre-sale pages, copywriter will write a nice long pre-sale page. So guess what we do? We pluck bits out of that and put it into the ad copy.
But that makes sense.
Yeah, if you're sending people to a pre-sale page first, the copy will be very short and it will pique a bit of curiosity. The job of the ad on Facebook is to nudge people into a pre-sale, not to sell the product. So the copy for an ad which goes to a pre-sale article, if you like, we can call it that, would say something like, discover three reasons why, or see why everyone is talking about this. But with regards to copy for other stuff, some key elements, you know, would be to do some short copy. Usually asking a question is good. Would you wear this t-shirt? Question mark. Stuff like that works really well because it generates engagement on the ads. And then when you generate engagement on the ads, Facebook makes your ads get more reach, perform better, because it thinks you've given the users a good experience. Testimonials are great to use from people. If you can get testimonials that overcome objections that someone may have, like if you knew your customers and you knew that they were concerned about how a t-shirt would, if the print on a t-shirt would stay in the wash, if everybody cared about that, all your customer service said it, all the questions pointed towards that. And if you can get a testimonial from John, a genuine one, where John says, just got my shirt, fits true to size, and was really quick delivery. Just banging something like that in there with a great creative, that can work really well. If you use carousel ads, which I like to use, you can tell like a story through each slide. So a carousel ad on Facebook could have five images in like a carousel. They move from left to right. And you can kind of tell a story. You know, I've got a client who sells bags that you can actually sew yourself at home. And a lot of people think it's just a bag that you can buy. So in a carousel, the first like slide on the carousel will say in plain English, make this bag at home. The next carousel will say, we send you everything you need. The next one will say, you get all instructions. And you can really, if your product takes a little bit of describing, carousels are great to use each card in the carousel to overcome things that you know people aren't sure about. You have to get in the head of someone when you're doing copy. The main thing is overcoming objections, not making it about us and doing what we think is saying what we think people want to hear about. That's where you get it wrong. You need to tell them what they care about, overcome objections, pique curiosity, and the job of the copy is to nudge them off Facebook to the Shopify product page or into a pre-sale.
Peter, that's great advice. Your point is very valid about, again, it's user-generated content. Like, we would advise every single Shopify store owner to make sure that they have reviews installed. So the content and the feedback coming from the reviews and also through customer support is actually user-generated content. You're using that to create the copy.
I'm going to tell you a little trick with this now, Keith, and people love this and I use this myself. So
just tell me now. Don't tell anybody else.
Okay. Yes. So basically, touching on what you said there, if you're using Yotpo or what's the other one everyone's moving to, Stamp.io, if you're using these review apps, you've got a nice amount of reviews. This is absolute gold. You can export them all out into a like Word document. So from the back end of Yotpo or whatever, you can say, right, export all my reviews out. They'll come into a big Word document. If you go onto wordcounter.net, paste in every single review you've got into there, good and bad, and what will happen on wordcounter.net, it will count the most used words in all of these exports that you exported out of Yotpo. And then what you'll see is the most spoken about, like top five words. You know, you'll see things like color, feels, quality, delivery, right? And you can times two it, so it'll give you the most used double phrases. So feels great or quick delivery. That is conclusive data, right? Obviously, you need to, you know, get a good amount of reviews before you start doing this. Maybe even 30 or 40, you should do it anyway. When you spot those words, then if you can use those in your ad copy and overcome those things or enhance those things that you truly know is the conclusive stuff that your target audience cares about, then you're onto a winner. And you can like bullet point things out, so it's really easy for people to see the things they've proven to care about the most. So your copy could say, have you tried this new t-shirt? ? And then you'd have your data there and it would say it fits perfect, does not fade in the wash, quick delivery. And then if they mention something else, and you're just like getting into using the real data. If you want to take it to another level, try and get a video testimonial from someone and prompt them to focus on the most spoken about words conclusively. And for you guys out there who are new, starting a new brand, or who don't have many reviews, you can still get some good data. You can go on Amazon, find a competitor or a similar product with a decent amount of reviews there. You can do it yourself, or you can get a VA and you can just paste them all into WordCounter. And then you're going to find out from someone who's already done the hard work and got the product going. You're going to give yourself a head start by getting some real data there.
Very, very clever move. For Shopify, we recommend Luke's.io, which is a great reviews app. And just as you pointed out, with Stamped and Trustpilot and the rest of them, you can export into a CSV and then get it into a Word document. So, Peter, that's good. That's good advice. Let's just go back to something that you mentioned at the start, the ecosystem. So in Shopify, we have an ecosystem. We have Shopify agencies, we've app developers, we've merchants, you know, five or six different channels of business that are all kind of interacting with each other at any one time. In terms of the ecosystem within the Facebook marketing platform, what do you mean when you mention ecosystem on Facebook?
You know what, Keith, it's kind of just a word that me and my friend have coined, and when we try and explain to clients, you know, how it's not just about launching an ad and looking at the results to come in. Obviously, a company like you guys who is going to build like a fast, well-optimized store with CRO in place, you know, that's going to enhance ads performance. Like we mentioned then, review apps and setting up apps. Their email marketing strategy, right? Like we'll look at some clients who've got like a 5% returning customer rate, and I'll say, well, how often are you email marketing? And they'll say, well, we send out one blast a month. So, you know, we call it this ecosystem to enhance the ads performance. So email marketing, and what we're seeing as well now is SMS marketing. Got some clients having some great results with that. There's a company, they're only offering it to US Shopify clients at the moment, but they're called Attentive. And what they, 14 of the top 15 brands on Shopify actually use Attentive. What's really cool about them, they've got this really unique pop-up. What the pop-up from Attentive does, it's different to like Privy and all those things. It pops up, collects the email, and then when the email's collected, it collects the phone number. Now, you know, you may get like 50% of people leaving their phone number, and you can send out one SMS blast via Attentive. Like I say, 14 top 15 performing stores in the whole of Shopify are on it. You can tie in an SMS, which ties into the content of your email for the day. It takes like 2 minutes to blast this out. I'm seeing a lot of people having great returns with this. So all these things enhance, you know, you were acquiring customers here where, you know, we have to keep this ecosystem of reselling to our acquired customers. You know, I would call apps as well as part of the ecosystem to help Facebook perform PageFly for pre-sales, Rebuy. There's an app called, which is like a post-purchase checkout. Seeing some amazing stuff with that. Yeah, knowing your numbers as well. You know, we say all these things will help enhance stuff and inventory management. A lot of times we've worked with clients where they're loving the sales increase, but then there's going to be an issue with inventory. Skincare brands where they have to get different elements for the different ingredients from different parts of the world, and they've sold so much and can't get it. So ecosystem really is just a phrase we've coined for the bigger picture to really help you grow your brand, you know.
Yeah. But Peter, your insights are absolutely fascinating. Firstly, thanks for everything, right? So you've mentioned a lot of links there, so we'll put them in the show notes. We'll also put the notes back in the notes there, links back to yourself and Rebecca's half of the business as well in Rainy City Marketing. You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to come back to you in about maybe 9 months or early next year to understand how the Facebook landscape has changed, because it's changing, you know. COVID has caused a change. Prices dropped there when COVID hit because there seemed to be more space for pay-per-click on Facebook. So constantly changing. So what I'll do is I might get you back maybe in 6 or 9 months, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. You know, I think my skills are improving all the time. I'm working with more and more interesting brands. So I've got value to share. And I'm always happy for people to shoot me a message on LinkedIn or anything. This isn't like a lead gen strategy. I can genuinely, people who need help, it takes me like a second to answer because I've been through, you know, I've got where I am from getting it wrong with Facebook years ago. So anyone who wants anything, I post bits of value and stuff on LinkedIn. Comment with questions there. I'm not trying to get anyone on calls or anything.
We'll make sure and put your details in there. And as I say, all of the links that you mentioned. In the meantime, listen, thanks very much. Really, really appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks, Keith. And I'll speak to you soon. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast. All of our episodes are available on Spotify and iTunes. We really appreciate the support of our sponsor, Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free. Just respond to any of the welcome messages or emails after you begin your 7-day free trial and mention our podcast. Until the next time, take care.